This is Great FM.
One of the significant fallouts of the pandemic and the consequent growth of work from home is the Great Resignation. This one is a buzzword that we've all heard, especially in the 2 years of the pandemic. Hi everyone, Ahalya here, and you're joining me on Great FM, the official podcast series of Great HR, where we explore all things HR, you guessed it. Now, back to the buzzword, Great Resignation. Research suggests that this is a phenomenon and one serious enough to warrant close attention, especially from those of us working in HR. You know, take for example, even the US, people are quitting their jobs in droves. 4.3 million Americans quit their jobs in just the month of August 2021 alone. In fact, according to a piece by Harvard Business Review, employees between 30 and 45 years old have had the greatest increase in resignation rates, with an average increase of more than 20% between 2020 and 2021. And, you know, this phenomenon has impacted India as well. According to a column in the Times of India, talent acquisition numbers touched record levels, even crossing the pre-COVID-19 mark. As a result, the job market sequentially grew by 11% in July. The country's IT sector has reported a 52% increase in the hiring of skilled professionals and the highest spike in the number of recruits in a decade. I honestly think that these numbers clearly suggest that the Great Resignation is something worth talking about. And to do just that, I've got Sameer Mathur, Global HR Head, Enterprise Capabilities, AECOM, joining me today. Hi, Sameer.
Hi, Ahalya. Thank you so much for having me. It's indeed a pleasure to be part of this discussion.
And allow me to introduce you for 1 second. So Sameer is a global senior level human resources professional with over 20 years of extensive leadership experience in human capital management, organizational effectiveness, talent acquisition, workforce planning, and a whole lot more. He's also got a proven track record in creating organizational transformation by aligning people strategies with business objectives. So I'm sure his insights today are going to be very valuable for us. Let's dive into it, shall we, Sameer?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the introduction.
Okay, wonderful. So my first question to you today, Sameer, is this. Did we see the Great Resignation coming, or were we really blindsided by this, as so many would have us believe?
So, yeah, I think it's a great question, and thanks for the introduction. In fact, you have really rightly pointed out that this was something which was long pending. You know, all of us in HR really believes this, that this would have come at some point in time, but we never thought that this will actually come in 2020 as early, because the pandemic really caught all of us by quite a surprise. And this was, I think, most of the organizations were not really prepared for it. Yeah. So I would say it was quite a mix. And of course, a lot of organizations and a lot of you know, people in different universities who were doing some kind of a research on this did forecast this one. But I can tell you, none of the organizations really took that piece very seriously. So I would say there were warning signs. There were people getting burned out. You know, people started reevaluating their lives. And, you know, there was a conversation related to, you know, how purpose-led the roles are. And, you know, people started to kind of question that whatever they're doing, is it something which they always wanted to do, and so on and so forth. So it just got accumulated. And then, you know, this entire thing really happened.
Wow. I mean, so much to unpack from your answer, actually, Sameer. And I think maybe the first thing that I want to talk about is, you know, like you said, a lot of HR professionals were expecting this to happen, but not as quickly as it eventually did because of the pandemic. I think you have answered this briefly, but if you could elaborate, did the pandemic catalyze this, or did it actually cause it to happen the way that it has?
No, I think, you know, a pandemic did catalyze, because, you know, when all the lockdowns really happened, people started working from home, you know, they had all the time to kind of reevaluate their lives. And many of them really realized that they were caught in the wrong job, or they were kind of getting frustrated with that kind of a routine which was going on. You know, that realization of life really came very, very live during this time, rightfully so. But having said this, as I said earlier, you know, this any which ways would have come, but would not have come in such a large magnitude, so to say.
Right, right. Okay. And like you said, nothing like a catastrophic and devastating global pandemic to really put things into perspective for us, you know. And I'm a big believer in things happening for a reason, Sameer. And when we look at the Great Resignation today and the way that it has played out, do you think that the spotlight, especially when it comes to, you know, HR, do you think that they're shifting the spotlight to actual competency mapping of working professionals? Or do you think, you know, what else has been the fallout or the positive results of the Great Resignation?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, as you rightly pointed out, because there is this mass hysteria of so many people really leaving in one go. You know, as you rightly said, 4.5 million people really walked away in March alone because, and this initial surge was probably due to the backlog of the resignations. You know, people were kind of holding up because they were unsure as to what's going to happen and what will unfold and how long this entire thing would really go on. But I would say these set of people are the people who've been kind of in the workforce for more than a decade or two. And as you rightly pointed out, the data also shows that a lot of people at the younger age, you know, when I'm assuming that they only have like a 10, 15 years of experience, were the people who really left. But the people with more years of experience and more mature population, I would say, you know, people who were beyond millennials were the people who stayed back in the organization and are not really thinking of leaving soon at this point in time. I am unsure that a competency mapping would really resolve this issue.
Okay.
Because, you know, we have to also understand the reasons, and multiple surveys have been carried out.
Yeah.
But there are this common thread which has emerged globally, and it's not very country specific anywhere, you know, in the world. Everybody is asking for flexibility. You know, you must have read very recently, Tesla has actually sent a message to their employees today saying that if you don't want to come to office, you know, you can decide or quit. Tesla. So, you know, so organizations are taking different measures, and nobody knows as to how some of these things would be taken. Very recently, a very senior Apple executive resigned, citing that Apple is now asking people to really come back.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm very confident that, you know, the world is not really ready to return to work at this point in time. And any organization who will push this too much, you know, will have to bleed, you know. So adaptability is the key word here, and the world is asking for a flexibility, not just flexibility to work from anywhere, but also flexibility to choose their own schedule, right? But to answer your question on whether it will shift the spotlight to the competency assessment, certainly it will. And you know, some new tools will have to be introduced so as to ensure that some of these things are gauged and a culture fit with the organization is kind of, you know, assessed much before they are really hired in the organization.
Nice. Okay. Very, very comprehensive insights those were, Sameer. But, you know, speaking of, actually, you brought up a very valid point about how the world of possibilities in terms of a flexible working, a flexible schedule, and coming to India specifically, if I could, I think a lot of people think that the country is isolated from the Great Resignation, but, you know, data suggests otherwise. Do you think there's a lot more thinking now across sectors, not just within the IT sector, but across sectors, about how we're actually going to, you know, make things better for our employees rather than, you know, just go back to the old normal?
Yeah, and you know, that's a great point. And of course, India is bleeding too. A lot of the organizations are definitely bleeding and experiencing a very high attrition rate, you know, what I call it as. The Great Resignation is actually a great exchange which is taking place, you know, largely because the compensation was one of the factor, and people saw a surge in the compensation and demand going up specifically for the IT and ITES kind of skills. But having said this, I think all the sectors and all the industry in the country are experiencing some bit of a disruption there. Like BFSI ITS and IT are definitely leading the pack, and mm-hmm. and they're kind of struggling to kind of hire a lot of people, and they're losing people on the other side. But aviation, hospitality, arts and entertainment, those kind of industries are also facing a lot of attrition at this point in time.
Yeah.
But, your health sector, education sector, manufacturing, the people who have very, focused skill in those areas would not really face that much of an issue. But I think every organization has started thinking about the great retention. What are the things which they need to do? What are the things which they need to really change? On the ways of working need to change. And, when I can tell you, the people with extremely orthodox mindset are the people who started thinking as to, how to kind of change the approach to keep the people for long. And, a huge skill assessment is taking place in the organization to see if, the people are at the right level or are at the right compensation. So a widespread compensation review is taking place. So I'm sure, this is a long journey, and, many organizations will set in, and then for others, they'll have some benchmark practices which will emerge very, very shortly.
Yeah, and I don't think this is something that people can really ignore at this point, because if you do, you will suffer. Like, there is no work around that. That's very evident also in people's attitudes, I think, when it comes to their work lives now. In earlier generations, I'm sure we've all been witness to it, people would sort of put themselves through anything for security. But now, as the options for security have increased, or the opportunities for security have increased, people are more willing to take risks and not put themselves through, that level of maybe routine or unhappiness, maybe. Is that something that you see, this new approach to work and life being very evident across sectors and across roles within an organization?
Yeah, I think it's quite evident with the new generation, which is joining the workforce.
Uh-huh.
And, with every generation, you will see, some changes taking place. We saw that when we started joining, from a very, very traditional kind of offices with fan rolling and, some bit of a coolers there.
Yeah.
To a very, very fancy, extremely fancy air conditioned office spaces. And then the office spaces really emerged with other elements around, gymnasium there, nice cafeterias being built, crèche being built. And, so it's a very evolving kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that the current generation is extremely well informed, very, very skilled, I would say. And, gone were the days when we would not really have a solution in hand, and we have to really... Like, I can tell you about myself, I used to remember the labor laws, on tips. And, today it's just, you can just type it in the Google and you'll get the answer and the sections.
Exactly.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
So they are very skilled, and they do not have a need for the security, I would say.
Okay.
And, it's a dangerous trend as well, maybe because the stickiness is extremely, in the lack of a better word, a little poor, and people mm-hmm. don't really mind shifting jobs within 6 months of the joining, if in case they get something better than what they already have.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of dangers, I do want to get your opinion on that. So, Sameer, what I'm going to do is just merge question 6 and 7, because I think they're very similar. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of dangers, Sameer, I do want to get your opinion on that, because there's always two sides to a coin. And while this, the Great Resignation maybe taught us some lessons on how to reevaluate life and prioritize what is important to you, I'm sure, like you said, there are also some negatives. So what are those negatives? Could you paint that picture for us, and maybe negative trends that people need to look out for?
Yeah, the negative trends, I think, and it's quite evident, because there is a sudden surge in compensation.
Yeah.
And there's a sudden surge in people getting the levels wherein probably they may or may not be 100% skilled. You know, we will all combine together would land up creating such a bubble, which when it will burst, you know, the organizations will absolutely run in extremely distressed situation. And, you know, the countries would really slide into recessions big time, and we would see a lot of job losses, which is taking place because, you know, there's always a limit. And if in case it's done in a ladder format, in a gradual manner, you know, it is sustainable. But what we are seeing right now is not sustainable. Somebody who was getting a 10 lakh rupees compensation right now is kind of asking for 40 lakh compensation, which definitely is not sustainable. Yeah. So I am personally, you know, from my position, quite worried about this trend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every CV you evaluate, you know, every 100 CVs, you see almost 60 to 70 CVs are of people who just joined the previous organization 6 to a year maximum, right? So people are shopping. People are thinking that, okay, I got from 10 lakh, I got 20 lakh. Let me see if I can get like a 30 lakh, and then let me see if I can get a 40 lakh. But, you know, this will stop at some point in time. But this bubble is extremely scary to me.
Okay, the bubble. And off the cuff, Sameer, is there something you think as HR professionals we can do to sort of prevent ourselves from, or our organizations from, running into that bubble and actually creating it?
Right. I think, you know, the reasons why people are really looking for leaving the organization are those, like a flexibility. So they have to prioritize looking at some guidelines to offer more flexibility and just don't push people to come to, you know, work 9 to 5 just for the sake of it. If that role can be done from anywhere, then why not? So that is one. Second is very clearly training the managers and spending a lot of time and money in educating the managers on managing people remotely and with a lot of empathy.
Right.
And third and last is absolutely working around the career philosophy, redefining the career philosophy, creating the career paths for each of those roles, and also analyze, you know, what is that which they need to do to, you know, reskill people, to upgrade the people's skills,
right,
and, you know, allow them to move into a larger role, you know, in a very defined manner. So those things will... And the hygiene, of course, remain compensation. Can't keep giving lower compensation when the market is offering a higher compensation.
So
that's more hygiene, I would say. Yeah.
But it's interesting, Sameer, because it also seems like, you know, maybe we need to start giving in to more flexible requests and creating a culture of that kind of accommodation rather than choosing instead to give in only to the compensation request every single time.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, and that goes without saying, because I was just talking about one of the initiatives which AECOM has launched very recently, which is called as Freedom to Grow. And internally we call it as F2G. And, you know, and there's a whole 8 to 10 kind of initiatives. They're saying that, you know, let the employees really decide what time can they work, and you know, what works for the client, what works for AECOM, and what works for you. I mean, that is something which can be decided, and you know, clearly we're deciding that let the employee and the team really decide how they want to communicate, what is that which they want to wear at the workplace. You know, let them decide where exactly they would want to work. Of course, there are some limitations because we are an engineering company and specifically the design company. So there's a lot of collaboration and all of that is required to review the designs. But within whatever is visible, you know, can we just free it up and let people be themselves and let them be more creative? So those are the things which probably organizations have to adopt and embed what they do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually, that sounds wonderful and like a very elegant solution to the entire problem. I think we're all very aware of companies that, you know, are creating this bubble very actively, the compensation bubble, and not giving employees very much else to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you so much, Sameer, for your time and your insights. This has been a very interesting and informative conversation today on Great FM. So thank you for hopping on.
Alia, thank you so much. You've been a wonderful host and I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for having me.
This is Great FM.